So there's this, we're in the middle of this argument. See, this man is not from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Others said, other Pharisees evidently, how could a sinful man do such signs? Good question, right? And there was a division among them. This happens a lot in John's gospel. There's a division because Jesus comes. He doesn't cause the division, but he's the source of the division. Do you accept him or not? So they said to the blind man again, what do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes? The blind man makes a step now. He says, he's a prophet. And that ends this whole first act, as it were. You see? He's a prophet. That's quite a step. Especially when you think he's talking to the religious authorities. You're going to find him. See, he's the Christian, right? He's the blind beggar on trial. Don't bother me. Let me just tell you, I know what Jesus has done for me. I know the peace in my heart. I know that I know the Father. I know that the Holy Spirit's working in my life. Don't bother me. I know this. And you tell me it's not in keeping with the best philosophy of the day. I'm sorry, but I can't deny what I know. That's the Christian witness. Not St. Thomas says it, therefore. No, I know. And if I know, I can brag about that because I know I cannot cause that. I know it comes from the action of the Holy Spirit in my heart. No other way. Okay. So the Jews, now you notice, John very subtly moves from the Pharisees to the Jews. The Jews are not the Jewish race, the Jewish nation. It's those who oppose Jesus in John's gospel. So to call John anti-Semitic is just silly. Just read the text closely. The Jews, later on in this very text, you're going to have the parents not going to go too far because they feared the Jews. Aren't the parents Jews? What does it mean? See, it means those opposed to Jesus. Okay. Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who was now seeing. All right, in translation. They asked him, is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? His parents answered and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He can speak for himself. Now his parents said this, and you get it again now, because they were afraid of the Jews. They're Jews. They're not afraid of all Jews. They're afraid the way John uses this word, Judei. You see? For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. Now we know that later on, one of the blessings of the Minim, but how early that happened, we don't know. But here it is, John writing about the year 90 maybe. See, and that's why his parents had asked him. They're afraid of the Jews. They're Jews. No, they're afraid of the ones who are opposed to Jesus. And even to this day, that's not all the Jew. Okay. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give God the praise, which is a formal way of asking for a sworn testimony. We know that this man is a sinner. Why? The how. He made mud. He replied, if he is a sinner, I don't know. Now you start to get the chutzpah. It's beautiful. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Now you see. the blind beggar on trial. That's every Christian. They ridiculed him and said, you were that man's disciples. We are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from. The man answered, now, on the basis of being a blind beggar, receiving his sight, he becomes a theologian. And he says, the man answered and said to them, this is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from. And yet, he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. What a beautiful witness. Huh? But notice, it's based on what? I know what God did for me. I know. I'm a part of this living church because I live. I know what he's done. And that knowledge grows as time, so that we get to the unitive way, you see. So clear. I could deny my right arm more than I could deny God. Okay. So, if this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything. They answered and said to him, you were born totally in sin because you were blind. Are you trying to teach us? And they threw him out. Hardness of heart. And we can see that hardness of heart, but we have to look and see what we're like. If you look at purgative, illuminative, and unitive, why are we way back here someplace? Because we don't listen to the full testimony of the Holy Spirit through the church, through the scriptures, through our own spirit, through what happens around us. And so we're stuck. And they threw him out. Now, the story really gets serious. Jesus heard they'd thrown him out. So he found him. Now is the crucial point for all of us, my friends. He said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered and said, who is he, sir? That I may believe in him. Now, you see, we just had that text of Aquinas. There's two lights. Jesus stands in front of every one of us. He certainly stands there when we receive the Eucharist. But what's going on inside of us? You see, do we allow the light which can overwhelm us with beauty to show us what's going on? Do we see Jesus, the victim, radiant, still offering himself to the Father and including us in that act, until one day we're so identified with that act of love in which he died that we've joined him on the cross and we're transformed? And all the saints say, there's no joy like this in the world. And we're saying, crucified with Christ is a joy? And the Lord says, don't worry about it. You just come step by step. And I will bring you there. And then you will understand why the saints say it's such a ravishing joy. That's faith. So you start where you are. So, who is he, sir? Jesus says, which is a beautiful line, you have seen him. What, with his eyes? Yeah, standing right there. But more than that, with his spirit. You have seen him. You've been touched by him. He's in your life. You see how important this is? This is the trajectory. And of course, I went, I watched, and I see. That's for the people being baptized. As I say, that quote from Justin, we call this bath photismos, enlightenment, because the minds of those who have already heard these things are enlightened at that moment. When baptism, it causes, it's a sacrament. And for adults, It's meant to cause enlightenment. It's a beautiful text. Some of you must be familiar with it. It's Cyprian of Carthage. I'm going to recite a bit of it by heart. I don't have it with me. You know, I'd heard about this, but he said, I had become so used to pampering myself. He was a lawyer, you know, a rich one, you know, that I simply gave in to my drives, figuring I couldn't do anything about it. But at last, I asked for baptism. I went down into that water, and I found that I understood what I could not understand before, that I could do what I could not do before. You know, it was a real baptism. You know, the Holy Spirit really acted. That man went on to be a martyr, a bishop and a martyr. The sacraments are supposed to cause something. It's up to us to be open, prepared, praying. You know, you know that time that this woman with the flow of blood reached out and touched Jesus. He's going with the crowd from where he was over to the house of Jairus to raise up Jairus' daughter. This woman reaches out, grabs his robe. Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And the apostles, nice guys, Jesus. I mean, look, everybody's bumping into you. What do you mean, who touched you? And look. He said, "Somebody touched me." So there's a difference between bumping into Jesus and touching him. Think of that at communion time. Are we going up there? Are we going to bump into him? Are we going to touch him? Where's our faith? So finally, this woman says, "It was me, you know, and I've had this flow of blood, and now it's healed." And Jesus says, "Yes. You see, your faith has healed you. Your faith, which is my gift to you, but which you received, is such a power that now has brought you healing, transformation." I think we can ask ourselves when we go to communion, see, when we say Mass, have I just bumped into Jesus or have I touched him? You see, that's what's going on here. You see, so you have seen him. Sure, I mean, the one speaking with you is he. And then he says it. "I do believe, Kyrie, Lord." Now it's not just Jesus or a prophet, it's the Lord. His faith, the Holy Spirit has moved. So he says, you see, "Lord, I do believe, Kyrie, Lord." Yahweh's name is Kyrie. And he says it, you see. Then Jesus, the end of the story, said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Whew. If you resist the light, you become blind. You don't have the light by which you can see the light. Now, of course, in the context, we're getting people ready to be baptized. We have to tell them what could happen. I have been at baptisms when the water was poured over an adult, they began to pray in tongues. I've seen it with my own eyes. Excuse me, but that's a normal baptism. It's not that you have to pray in tongues, but you have to know something happened. You see what I'm trying to say? It's an experiential faith. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this. "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Now, remember how he's going to give light and cause blindness. Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see.' And so your sin remains. You're blind." Those are the two options we've got. And this gospel brings him back in front of us again with a call to prayer.